So there's an expression, like father, like son. We're all pretty familiar with it. We've heard it. But let me ask you, how does that expression strike you? Like, what emotions does that conjure up? The free dictionary has a definition of like father, like son. I think it's pretty accurate. So basically, what the expression means is fathers and sons resemble each other, and sons tend to do what their fathers did before them. Now, for some of us, that brings a chuckle. But yeah, I am a lot like my dad. I see that in myself. It's kind of a fun reminder. Or, ooh, she is so much like her mom. Poor thing. But I'm not talking about anybody in my family, by the way. But for others of us, like father, like son, feels more like a horrible omen hanging over our heads. Like, oh, I am not going to be like him. I am not going to be like him. Oh, no, I'm just like him. Or, you know, for those of us who are parents, like father, like son can be pretty terrifying, can't it? Oh, man, I'm doing it again. Please don't let him pick up that from me. And we see it. It's really complicated, but part of the reason it's complicated is that many of us have been damaged by our parents, our earthly parents. Some of us have been abandoned, and we still find ourselves afraid of letting people get too close to us. Some of us have been crushed under the weight of our parents' constant cruel criticisms. Some of us have been bruised by our fathers, both figuratively and literally. But we talked a couple of weeks ago about the fact that we have a real father, a heavenly father who's perfect. You may remember we talked from Genesis 25 about the fact that God gave special treatment to Abraham's son Isaac, simply because Isaac was born with a promise over his head. Isaac did nothing to deserve special treatment, but he got it anyway. And God offers us that same special treatment. He gives us the right to become children of God, the right to become his kids, even though we don't deserve it. And we get special treatment like eternal life and hope in this life and peace in this life. Well, this morning I want to take a closer look at that last part, at how we can have peace in this life by having a like father, like son relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because he's the kind of father we do want to be like. A father who will never abandon us, whose discipline is loving, who's full of mercy and compassion, and whose love for us never fails. So how can we be like father, like son with him? How can we imitate our Heavenly Father and maybe break the cycle that was passed on to us by our earthly parents, which was passed on to them by their parents, and their parents, and their parents? One of the, we talked about this a couple of years ago at Man Camp, when the theme of the camp was the Disney movie The Lion King, and how that can be a metaphor for our relationship with our Heavenly Father. One of the most important things the little cub, Simba, did in that movie was simply play with his dad, the king. They tumbled around and they wrestled together. They just enjoyed one another's company. And that, if you remember the movie, laid a foundation for what would be crucial later on when Simba had forgotten his true purpose in life. At one point, he sensed his father's voice telling him, in James Earl Jones' voice, "Remember who you are." He actually did remember who he was. He rediscovered his true purpose because he remembered who he was. And who he was the son of the king. The son who knew his dad loved him because they wrestled around and played together and just enjoyed one another's company. Well, that's something God wants us to do with him. He wants us to enjoy him. In fact, when Bible scholars back in the 1600s decided to write down the key components of Christianity, They came up with a list of 107 important points. They called it the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And this was item number one. Question: what is the chief end of man? Answer: man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's why you and I are here. That's why we exist, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Are you enjoying God? How can we enjoy God? Well, turn with me to Psalm 103. Because I think we can learn a little bit about how to enjoy God from the guy who wrote a huge percentage of the worship songs in the Bible. A guy who was known as a man after God's own heart, King David. In Psalm 103, David shows us so much about who our Father is, why he's a good Father, a Father we can emulate and want to emulate. So let's see what kind of Father we have. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And jump down to verse 8, where David starts listing all of the Father's benefits. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Yeah, we have a good, good Father. You know, if someone looked at me and said, like father, like son, I'm like, what, really? Wow. Thank you. Well, it couldn't be a greater compliment. David highlights several beautiful aspects of our Father's character that are definitely worth emulating, but I do want to look at just a few of them. And the first one is the fact that God is safe. He offers us absolute safety. Now, many of our earthly fathers were anything but safe, huh? But look at verses 13 and 14. In verses 13 and 14, we see that God is compassionate, but look at the reason he's compassionate. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Why does God show compassion to us? Because he knows we're dust. He shows you compassion because you're a mess, and he knows it. Because you're sinful, because you're pathetic and helpless. He loves you no matter what. That is safe. That's what our Father offers us. We can go to him with anything. And that's something we need to try to emulate. As his sons and daughters, we need to be safe. The people under our influence need to know that they can come to us with anything. Those of us who are parents, we know that especially when our kids were tiny, we loved them no matter what. Just because they were our kids. Not because they were giving us anything. As our kids get older, that can get a little more difficult, can it? But our Father offers us absolute safety. And we need to do our best to be absolutely safe. But we're only human. I mean, we have scars and we've been hurt. Heck, our kids have hurt us. So how are we supposed to imitate God's absolute safety? Well, we'll come back to that. But let's look at another aspect of God's character that we need to imitate. He offers us absolute safety and compassionate anger. Verse 8 in Psalm 103 tells us that the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. And verse 9 says he won't keep his anger forever. Many of us can relate to a father's anger. Many of us have been on the receiving end of it. Some of us have dished out plenty of it. But what God tells us about himself here is that he will not stay angry with you. He will get angry with you. God will discipline us when we deliberately disobey him. Someone who's a lot smarter than I put it this way. He created us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and we don't do it. If he didn't hold us accountable, he'd be a cartoon God, a one-dimensional make-believe God. So God does get angry with us, but it's compassionate anger. It's actually anger that we need. He disciplines us, but it's discipline with a purpose. In Hebrews 12:6, we read, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives." And down to verse 11 of Hebrews 12, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it." What God is saying is, yeah, I will bring pain into your life, but only so it'll wake you up and change you so you can avoid even more pain. And that's how our anger should look too. As God's sons and daughters, we are going to have to discipline people in our lives, people he's given us influence over. Whether it's our kids or our nieces and nephews or younger brothers and sisters or coworkers or whatever. But like our Heavenly Father, our discipline has to be with a purpose. It has to be for the good of the person being disciplined. And like our Heavenly Father, our anger has to be outweighed by our compassion. His anger is temporary, but his compassion is forever. We need to err on the side of going too easy on people. That's what God does for us. That's how he treats us. In verse 10 of Psalm 103, he tells us, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." He doesn't give us what we deserve. Why? Because he's our dad, and he loves us. The prophet Hosea gives us this amazingly beautiful picture of how tenderly our Father loves his people. Listen to the way he talks about his people, Israel. Even when they were horrendously disobedient, God says in Hosea 11:1, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. And I bent down to them and fed them." And now jumping down to verse 8 in Hosea 11, even after God's people rebelled again and again and deserved his wrath, listen to how tender his heart still is. "How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warmer and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath." He is God and not a man. Your earthly father may have made sure you got what you deserved. Or he may have given you way more than you deserved. Or maybe one of your earthly parents completely abandoned you. But God loves you so much that he wants to go easy on you. We need to emulate him in that way too. We need to be compassionate when we're angry. We need to go easy on people. But again, he's God and we are men and women. We are human. It's hard for us to have perfect compassion and anger. I mean, how exactly are we supposed to do that? Well, hold that thought. We'll come back to that too. But let's look at one last aspect of our Father's character that we really should imitate. Another incredible contrast between our Heavenly Father and our earthly fathers. Many of our earthly fathers, anyway. He sticks around. He sticks around. Verses 15 and 16 of Psalm 103 describe our earthly fathers and really any people in our lives that we look to for affirmation. As for man, all his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. I distinctly remember one of the guys at Man Camp the year we were talking about this, sharing with me that the one thing his relationship with his earthly parents taught him is that people leave. Everyone leaves eventually. In one sense, they can't help it. They're people. They're going to let us down. But look at verse 17. It begins with my favorite word in the Bible. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. If you're God's child, his love is never going to leave you. He is going to love you for eternity. He is going to stick around. In fact, he's preparing a home for you where you will always be welcome. Now, obviously, you and I can't offer eternal love to the people in our lives, but we can imitate our Father as best we can. He is never going to abandon you, and we really can't abandon the people in our lives. We need to be there, physically and emotionally. We need to stick around, no matter what. You may have been abandoned, and it may be really tempting to just chuck it all, to run away like Simba did in The Lion King. But you gotta stick it out. You need to break that cycle. And the good news is you can. You can break that cycle. Of course, it's going to be a lot easier said than done. You may be so beaten down that you feel like everyone would be better off if you just vanished. Or you may be feeling like, well, sure, God can stick around. He's perfect. I'm not. No fair. Well, let's look at that. First of all, what is it that makes all these things seem impossible? Sometimes we think, I'm too much of a failure. I've already hurt everybody too badly. Or maybe I've been hurt too badly. If I open up, I'll only get hurt again. Or maybe if I go easy on these people, I'm just going to get pushed around. Well, I want to look at the beginning of Psalm 103 again. David says, bless the Lord. But who's he talking to? Who is he telling to bless the Lord? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David is talking to his own soul. He's saying, hey, soul, bless the Lord. Listen up, soul. Don't forget how great God is. This entire psalm is a reminder to our own souls, to our own selves, to celebrate how wonderful God is, how great his love for us is. We need to be reminded to celebrate our God, to enjoy him, to play with him. Because when we forget how great he is and how tender his love for us is, that affects everything. Tim Keller went so far as to say, all of your problems come because your soul does not know that you're a child of God. You've forgotten. See, when we forget what it means that we're a child of God, it really does affect everything. I mean, we're more fearful, we are more judgmental, we're less patient with people. But when we remember that we're God's kids, the effect can be world-changing for us. Tim Keller continues that thought in his discussion of these first two verses of Psalm 103. He says, "Do you really know that your Father loves you? Then you'll never have a problem with rejection. If you know you have His love, does it matter who rejects you? Why do you struggle with problems of self-worth? Because your soul doesn't know this. You're living as if it isn't true." And so often we do live as if it isn't true. But it is true. If you've given your life to Christ, you are a child of God, a child of the King, and He absolutely adores you. So if you know that, who cares what anyone else thinks? And if you immerse yourself in His love, you'll start to care less and less what anyone else thinks. Play with Him. Enjoy Him. And pretty soon, His opinion will be the only one that matters. I think of the Lion King again. Imagine that little cub, Simba, wrestling around with his dad, the king, and a couple of other cubs walk by and say, "Simba is a loser, Simba is a loser." Simba's going to be like, "Whatevs, I'll just be over here playing with the king." See, none of that is going to bother Simba. Not one bit. When Simba's wrestling with his dad, when he's totally secure in how much his dad loves him, those other cubs' criticisms don't matter. Nothing matters. You and I can be paralyzed by what other people might think of us. We're terrified that they might find out that we're a fraud. Or we're terrified they might hurt us deeply, so we don't engage. We develop all kinds of super powerful defense mechanisms in order to keep from engaging. Sometimes we hide behind busyness, or we hide behind a wall of stoicism, or we hide behind our one-liners, or behind a facade of, "Hey, I'm the jovial guy who always has a quick joke but never has to open up." You know? But if we can play with our dad and just wallow in His love for us, we can let go of all that stuff. We can give up our facades. We can give up all our defense mechanisms and just be ourselves, who He made us to be. We can remember who we are. And chances are the people we're closest to won't reject us. But even if they do, as we sing in that worship song, we sang it in many of the worship songs this morning, but there's that one where we sing, "Nothing compares to your embrace." Paul wrote in Philippians 3, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Just knowing Jesus is that awesome. Do you know Him that well? Get to know Him better. Each one of us can stand to get to know Him a lot better. Play with Him. Enjoy Him fully. Let Him speak to you through His word. Talk to Him. Sing to Him. Spill your guts to Him. He can take it. Let Him be the one who defines you. If you've been damaged by your earthly parents, He wants to free you from that. He wants to free you from your family, but He also wants to free you for your family. You can stop pretending, and you can offer that absolute safety to the people in your life, the safety that they need. When you're constantly aware of how much you've been forgiven, you can correct the ones you love with compassionate anger, with discipline that's helpful and loving, and you can stick around. You can resist the temptation to chuck it all and abandon your family. You can stay for the long haul because you know how God sees you. You'll remember who you are. When you play with your dad and you enjoy him fully, you'll remember who you are. You're his child. Sure, you may have made a mess of things, but if you've given your life to Jesus, that is not who you are anymore. Paul wrote in Colossians 1, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Above reproach. You've got nothing to hide, because your Father adores you and sent his Son to die for you in your place. Yeah. You may have some things you need to apologize for, because your Father adores you. There may be a lot of tears. There may be a lot of healing ahead of you. But as the song says, you don't have time to maintain these regrets. Philippians 3:12. "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You and I need to be pressing on toward the goal of eternity and toward the call that God's placed on our lives. We don't have time to maintain these regrets when we think about the way he loves us. He loves you so much that you've got nothing to hide and you've got nothing to fear. The people who need us and the responsibilities waiting for us may seem terrifying and overwhelming, but your Father knows. When you're playing with Dad and enjoying him and you know you can trust him with everything, he's trustworthy. We can be trustworthy. Again, there are 1,000 ways that we can imitate our Father and be like Father, like Son with him. But based on many conversations we've had here in our Touchstone family, I really feel like these few are some really important ones for us. Let's be safe. Let your loved ones know they can come to you with anything. Let's be compassionate. Err on the side of being soft. And when you have to discipline, make sure it's loving discipline and that it helps the ones you're disciplining. And let's be there. Let's stick around. Resist the temptation to chuck it all and run away, physically or emotionally. And remember who you are. If you've given Jesus your life, you're God's child. Christ is in you, and he has made you holy and blameless. That does bring up one last point that's important to make. Being God's child isn't automatic. We're not all God's children simply because he created all of us. We must choose to accept him. In John 1:12, we're told of Jesus, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We must receive him. We must believe in him, who he is, and what he's done for us. And it's only possible to become his children because of what he's done for us. Do you realize what Jesus did for you? You know, it's amazing. He was the only true Son of God, right? And every single time he addressed his Father in the New Testament, he called him Abba. He used that Hebrew word for daddy. Every time except one. When he was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus lost the spirit of sonship so you and I could become God's sons and daughters. You were bought with a price. So treasure your sonship. Treasure your status as God's kid. Play with your dad. Enjoy him forever. And when you find yourself struggling again and forgetting, which I find myself doing several times again, several times a day, it seems, let's remind our souls again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to be able to call you Father and to know how deeply you love us, how safe you are, how compassionate your anger is, and Father, that your love will never, ever fail us. Help us, Lord, to emulate you, to be like Father, like Son and daughter. Help us to remind our own souls to bless your name and forget not all your benefits. Your benefits are too numerous for us to count. We just love you, God. We ask that you be glorified in each of us. Help us to be safe to the people around us. We love you, God. I ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.